Thank you, Father, for the sweet fellowship that you've called us into. Thank you, Father, for calling us to be your sons and daughters. Father, I thank you this morning for the blessings that you've filled our lives with. Father, in your word, you tell us to be separate, to come out from among them. And you tell us that we live in the world, but we're not of the world. So, Father, we just thank you for the events of the week, that you've made it abundantly clear to us that the simplicity of your word and the sweetness of your fellowship is not of works, but of your grace. Thank you, Father, this morning, this wonderful music and song that helps us to focus our heart on you. Thank you, Father, for the word that we just heard. Thank you, Father, for your heart towards us. Thank you, Father, for you just being our Father, our Daddy. Thank you, Father, this morning for the word that's going to come out of my mouth in a little bit. Thank you, Father, for it being your words and not mine. Thank you, Father, for you just continuing to show us the simplicity of what you want for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ, amen. And Father, this morning I just thank you for the gentleman in Florida that has asked for tapes of this Renewed Mind series. Thank you, Father, for the struggles in his life. I thank you, Father, for complete healing in his life, not because of any tapes that we might send him, but because of you changing him and transforming him into your righteous son. Thank you, Father, for him. And we just lift him up to you. And thank you for blessing him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7 this morning. Finally. If you want to roll over that direction, we'll get there in a minute.
Roam over to Romans. I just love that.
This is the fifth week in a row that we've talked about Renewed Mind. Probably going to talk about it a couple more weeks, or at least one more. From now on, maybe. Well, we've talked about the different words in the Word about Renewed Mind, and last week we talked about there were 12 distinct words for that's translated as the word mind. A huge number of Greek words in the New Testament that talks about the thought process. All sorts of different aspects of how we think is talked about in the Word. In Romans 7 and 8, there are several words that show up. Nous, phrenes, phroneo, and phronema. When the word nous is used, it's talking about usually... it's used figuratively to talk about the whole process. It's kind of an inclusive word. And sometimes it's used figuratively again to talk about the way we think, our mindset, the root of how we think. It's our automatic responses. And I think that the real central issue of renewing our mind, the target of renewing our mind, is that deep mindset. Because that is, as we saw in Proverbs 4:23, and I'll just whip over there real quick, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is that central, deep, subconscious mind where our thoughts come from. You know, this week, Lynn and I were talking about... it's almost like a constant subject lately in every conversation that not only we have, but with other people too, is this whole idea of why isn't God listening? And how come God's not responding to my prayers? And, you know, I was really praying about that, thinking about that, and asking God, why is that such a universal question? And here's the deal. In the central part of our mind that's not conscious, subconscious part, where we are thoroughly programmed, in that little nanosecond that it takes us to form a thought. And once that thought is formed, then we become aware of the thought in that nanosecond. Now, what's a nanosecond? It's a 10 millionth of a second. Mm-hmm. Not very big. But with God, that nanosecond is like 6 weeks or a century, whatever he wants it to be. Lots of time there. Our intent and our motivation that's coming out of that subconscious mind, in that nanosecond that we're not even aware that the thought is forming yet, God has already reacted to us. He's already listened and responded. And so by the time we get, our thought gets to our awareness, we say, well, God, where are you? But Christ in us has already responded to that. And so when we pray to God with selfish prayers, why do we not get an answer? We did get an answer. Because he knew the intent. And I say this because God has given us a tool that is so powerful and so effective that bypasses our selfishness, and it's speaking in tongues. It's one of the manifestations. It has nothing to do with our level of thinking that we are aware of. It comes in that nanosecond where God reacts with us. And out of that flows speaking in tongues. The Word says it's perfect prayer. And so we can pray without our selfish intents. And so God is always listening. He's never not listening. And he reacts. And he answers every prayer. We just sometimes don't like the answer. Okay, the words for mind. They're all of these words that I've got here on this poster that we just talked about that mean the whole organ, the whole process. One of them means thoughts. The other is strings of thoughts. The other one is the mindset. They're all in the King James, at least, translated the English word mind. And so when you're reading it in English, you don't know which one it's talking about. And so you have to go a little bit deeper to find out exactly what's going on. And when we go through Romans chapter 7 and 8 in a little bit, I'll point out which one is which. So our mind, all of these, we've talked about in the past, about our thought habits. Our thought habits, our input, the way we get input into our mind. Talked about the two different kinds of knowledge. We could also label that as the two different ways we input knowledge and thoughts into our mind. And one is natural knowledge and the other is spiritual knowledge. One is information that we are receiving from Spirit. That's where the manifestations come in. That's where revelation comes in. That's where visions come in. That's where everything that has to do with spirit comes in, and within we have the natural knowledge that involves our five senses. Anything we smell, hear, taste is natural knowledge. Now, we have been given the task of renewing our mind, and part of that is changing what we put into our mind by natural sources. We use the Bible. We use the Word of God, the rightly divided Word of God. When we start to put that in there, it starts to affect the programming at the deeper levels. Because what happens is God energizes his word. God only energizes his word. It's his word that he energizes, not ours. When we speak God's word, it becomes energized. And that's true within our mind also. So let's go to chapter 7 of Romans. Chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 19. Chapter 7 of Romans talks about the battle that goes on in our mind between the old man and the new man. And by the way, this is a battle that only happens in a born-again person's mind. Because somebody that's not born again doesn't have Holy Spirit, so there's no battle. It's just natural. It's natural. So if you're having this battle, if, there's no if, you are. I know you are, because that's the Word says we do. Know that it's a good thing because it's an indication that you're born again. The battle is there. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. Boy, is that a big statement. That word would is fellow, which is Strong's 2309. It means to will or to desire. For the good that I desire, I do not. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. But the evil that I would not, that I do. And that word I do is practice. I practice it. The evil that I would not, the evil that I desire not, I practice.
Wow.
Now that's the Apostle Paul talking.
Wow. Wow.
Now if he had this struggle, you know that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't mastered the struggle, well, guess what? You're in good company here. Because it's the human struggle, it's the struggle between the old man and the new man. It's the struggle inside of your mind between your old nature and Christ in you. And where that struggle happens is where we renew our mind. That is the pot that we cook the stew in. And what we put into that pot determines what the soup is.
Mm.
Last week we talked about renovating our kitchen. The things that come out of the kitchen determine really what's in the kitchen. You know, you can go to a restaurant and you can look at your plate and you can taste the food and get an idea of what's going on in the kitchen. Sometimes it's not so good. And sometimes it's just absolutely wonderful. But it's all because of what's going on in the kitchen. Okay. Verse 20. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man is Christ in you. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And that mind, as Nous talks about the whole process, and warring against is a Greek word that means to rear up against. It's like you're walking through the woods and suddenly there's a bear reared up in front of you. I mean, it just stands up and comes against you. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members rearing up against the law of my mind. So there's a real struggle here. He gives us a real good mind picture here of the real struggle that goes on within our mind. The law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The old man is trying to take you back into captivity of sin. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. That word wretched means miserable. Oh, miserable man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall deliver me from this body of this death is actually what the King James says. And of course, chapter 8 is written to answer this particular question. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, this is Nous again, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now none, condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 1 of verse 8, but it's actually part of the conversation going on in chapter 7. There is therefore, in spite of that struggle, there is therefore now no adverse sentence or verdict to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, where's the law work? In the flesh. Okay. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now, back up there in verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation. That's an adverse sentence. There's no adverse sentence for them which are in Christ Jesus. But down here in verse 3, that very same word Jesus condemned sin, put an adverse sentence on sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now we're going to go back those two verses and read them with the word mind with the definition in there. For they that are after the flesh do phroneo, which is strings of thought, thought processes, have thought processes that are of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, same word, after the Spirit, thought processes. It's a different level of thinking. It doesn't use the one that's talking about mindset there. It's talking about our conscious thoughts. And then verse 6 says, because to be carnally minded, that's mindset. To be carnally minded means to have a habitual mind response that is carnal, result in a life of death, living misery. But to be spiritually minded, same word, to have a habitual mind response that is based on our new man, Christ in you, to be spiritually minded results in a life of peace and life. There's quite a contrast there. And it's because of a mindset. Verse 7. Because what? Because for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind, this is the same word, phronema, habitual mind response, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now you remember back up there, verse 3, it said for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh,
mm-hmm.
because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. Remember in Galatians it says that he redeemed us from the law
mm-hmm.
that was against us, because the fleshly mind, the law, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. But ye are not in the flesh, but are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Whose righteousness?
God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not our righteousness. We are righteous because he made us righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his righteousness. He has imputed his righteousness on us. Therefore, we are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And if he made us righteous, who's to argue with that?
That's right.
I can't argue with it.
Amen.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you,
mm-hmm.
he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies through his Spirit
mm-hmm.
that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You know what that verse says? These words say it's available to live the abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. It's available.
Mm-hmm.
It says that he will energize and make alive our physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? Through the renewed mind.
Mm-hmm.
Through the renewed mind. The renewed mind is really the central issue of the Christian life. Because if you're not renewing your mind, you're living in the flesh. You're thinking the fleshly thoughts. That's where religion comes from. Religion is all in the flesh. The relationship with God is by way of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with all of those activities and all of the things we do to gain righteousness of our own and to be to promote ourselves. And it goes back again to that nanosecond of our thought. What is the real motivation of that thought?
Mm-hmm. And that answers the question about physical healing.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes. What are you believing?
That verse answers that question.
Yes, it does.
Right there.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by or through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not of the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led or motivated, is the Greek, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the sonship spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that happens in that nanosecond of the thought formation where God communicates with us. Now, here's another weird mind picture that came to me when I was having this thought process and this realization. I was thinking about, have you ever watched them make sausage?
Mm-hmm.
In a sausage grinder?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put all these different pieces of meat and all these spices and you grind it through the grinder,
mm-hmm.
and out shoots this sausage.
Mm-hmm.
As it comes out of the sausage maker, you hold the filler and it feeds into the filler,
mm-hmm.
and you end up with this sausage, and out plops this sausage on the table. And the sausage says, you know, I really don't believe in sausage grinders. Because I've never seen one. And by the time our thought has reached our conscious mind, it's already a sausage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been through the grinder already. And yeah, I know, shake your head. That is one weird illustration. But that's where we live.
Mm-hmm.
We say, God, where are you? Why aren't you responding to my prayer? He did. We just don't like the answer that we got. And it's because of the intent of our heart. And the only way we can change that is by renewing our mind with the rightly divided Word of God.